We're in Luke chapter 18. We're going to be starting a new four-week series. I originally was going to preach one message this morning and one message tonight, both with the same title. And as I was studying for it, the Lord brought a couple more passages to my mind, and so it kind of turned into a four-week series instead. And so we'll be doing this on Sunday mornings for four parts here. But the series is titled So Much the More. You find that in Scripture four different times, the phrase, so much the more. And you find it in Luke chapter 18, which we'll be getting into today, in Luke chapter 18. And we see it in Mark chapter 7, we see it in Luke chapter 5, and then again in Hebrews 10. So we'll be starting a four-week series here on that phrase and what it means to different walks of life when in relation to God. So let's all stand. We'll read just a few verses here, Luke chapter 18, and we'll start in verse 35. It says, "And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging." And we know from a parallel passage that this man's name is Bartimaeus. Verse 36, it says, "And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God." Let's open a word of prayer. We'll get into the message. Part one, the cry for mercy. Dear Lord, we just thank you. We thank you that at one point I was the one crying for mercy. I was the one blind to my sin. But Lord, you stood still and you commanded that I be made whole. And Lord, I'm so thankful for my salvation. I'm thankful that when Satan tried to shut us up, we cried so much the more for mercy. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone under the sound of my voice this morning that does not know you, that they won't let Satan discourage them from accepting you, but they'll cry so much the more, understanding the gospel and knowing their need for salvation, Lord. We love you so much, and I just pray that you'll be with me, that you'll cleanse me of sin and empty me of self and fill me with your spirit, Lord. That I'm not preaching my own words, but I'm preaching the word of God. And I'm preaching it for the glory of God. Lord, I just pray that those who don't know you would be convicted, Lord. And those who do know you will be edified and encouraged. We love you so much in your precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. In this series, we'll be discussing these four different parts, these four different times, these phrases are used, and so much the more. And the first one we're going to be looking at is in relation to the lost. Second one we'll look at is in relation to the saved, those who've accepted Christ. The third one we'll look at is in relation to physical church growth. I've seen this auditorium filled at one point. And then the fourth one we'll be looking at in relation to spiritual church growth. What do we need to grow spiritually? What do we need so much the more? And so we'll be looking at these four different parts these next 4 weeks, we'll be doing this series, So Much the More. But this morning I want to talk about, in relation to the lost, the cry for mercy. We see here that Jesus was passing by. He was entering into Jericho. He was coming nigh to Jericho, and there was a certain man that sat by the wayside, and he was a beggar. He was blind. He couldn't do much. All he could do was sit there and hold his hands out, not knowing when people were passing by or why they're passing by, but was looking for something that could help him with fulfilling, that could fulfill his needs. But then when Jesus passed by, and I love seeing that phrase, every time that Jesus passes by, he doesn't leave people the same way that they were when he got there. Every time that he passes by, somebody is changed. I love seeing that phrase in the Bible that when Jesus passed by or Jesus passeth by, and he always stops and takes the time to show somebody the truth. Takes the time to show somebody compassion or mercy, and they always are changed. But one thing with this blind man is he's looking for fulfillment. He hears a commotion as they're passing by, and he hears this commotion, and he asks the people, wait, what's going on? What's everyone going to see? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth has come to town. He's passing by. And this blind man must have known who Jesus was. He had never seen him. He was blind. But he knew the name. He's heard the news, maybe from talk around town or as people are walking by him and talking, and they talk about this Jesus of Nazareth and everything that he had done, how he healed the deaf man and how he'd healed the blind before and how he'd healed people of their leprosy and all these ailments that they had. And he knew that he had a condition that needed healing. And he heard the name Jesus of Nazareth, and he couldn't help himself, but he just cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I've heard you have mercy on other people, and I need that mercy. And the people said, no, he's too important. He doesn't need to be bothered with what you got going on. Just hold your peace and don't cry out anymore. But he said he cried so much the more, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped. It said that Jesus stood and he commanded. And I know that Jesus heard the rebuking. Even if he wasn't within earshot, we see passages of scripture when people speak within their heart and Jesus knows what they're thinking. Jesus heard the rebuking, and I believe he wanted to make a point. He stood and he said, well, if you guys don't want him crying, then you bring him to me. Bring him to me. And so they bring him to him, and he says, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? What do you need? He wanted him to recognize his condition, and he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. We don't know if this man was born blind or if he was made blind. It just says he was a certain blind man that sat by the wayside begging. We just know that he was blind. We don't know what the cause of his condition was. But he said, Lord, I have a condition, and I need to receive my sight. So this morning I want to talk about I want to discuss so much the more the cry for mercy. Number one, we see a few things in this passage. Number one, we see the good news that was given to him. Verse 35 is, and it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude, we know multitudes followed Jesus everywhere he went. Hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. That was good news to the blind man. And there are spiritually blind people that are blind to the truth of God's word. Just going out out canvassing, I've been very encouraged by the reception of people, how they received and willingly received the word of God into their hand. And I've been very encouraged by the people that even if they didn't want it, they were very nice about it. There's been a couple people, though, that are spiritually blind. And they say, well, I'm not a Christian. And I say, well, you don't need to be a Christian to come to our events or to read this. And they said, no, I want an apart. I had somebody, they heard that I was a pastor and they physically backed away from me, like I had some sort of disease or something. But there's people that are spiritually blind to the truth. We're not passing these around just to let people know about the tent meeting and just to let them know about the Vacation Bible School coming up. We're not passing it around just because it's got our church's name on the back of it. We're passing it around to get the Word of God into every home in Viroqua. We're passing it out so they can know the truth, that their eyes can be opened, and that's why we need to put as much prayer into it as we put as much work into it. Because these aren't just going to open their eyes to the truth. It's through the prayer that God reveals the truth of the Scripture to them. We need to be bathing in prayer. If you can't come out canvassing with us, man, be praying that hour that we're canvassing. Be praying and say, Lord, don't let your word return void. Lord, let them open the Scripture, not just toss the bag in the garbage bin. Let them open it. Let them read it and show them the truth from your word. These pages are marked. It tells you what page to start at, and it has underlined verses in it. And then it tells you what page to go to next, and it lays out the gospel for them. But it's not going to do anything if they don't open it. We can hang it on every door, but if they want to remain spiritually blind, if we aren't praying that God will pass by them before we even give them the Scripture, that God would prepare their hearts for them, then it's not gonna amount to anything. We need to bathe it in as much prayer as we are putting the work in. And so if you can't come to physically help us pass them out, man, be helping us in prayer. Then, Lord, lead them to the doors. And we're hanging on every door, but Lord, prepare the hearts of those people behind those doors to receive your word. It's time that we make a commotion. It says that he heard the multitude passing by him, and he asked what it meant. It's time the church of God gets on fire. It's time that we get excited about what God's doing at Bethlehem Baptist Church. It's time that we get excited about the things of God and doing the work of God and not our own work, but we get excited about the things of God. And so we make a commotion and they start to wonder what we're all about. It's time that there's a commotion and you say, wait, what's going on? And we say, Jesus is doing a work here. Jesus is passing by Bethlehem Baptist Church. Let them know that Jesus is getting ready to pass by in Viroqua, Wisconsin. Jesus is getting ready to do a work, and we let them know that we're excited about what God's doing here. We can come to church and struggle to stay awake and just sit there and just don't even open our Bibles and just sit there and listen. We can come to church, and if we got visitors coming to the church and they see that we're not excited about the things of God, we're not excited to be here, it's just another thing we do to check off a box. People aren't going to want to be a part of something that's not exciting. They're already blind to the truth. Well, why are they going to want the truth if it's not something that's worth living for? How are kids going to grow up to see that serving God can be good and can be fun and can be rewarding when we come and act like we're just bored in church? It's just a duty that we have to do. They're going to remain spiritually blind when we're not even trying to make a commotion to open up their eyes. We have good news, and it's good news. Man, when we see something political on the news that is good for America, we want to share it with everyone else. Man, did you see what the president did, or did you see what this congressman did, or did you see the bill that they just passed? Man, we get excited about that stuff because it benefits us. Doesn't the gospel benefit you? Doesn't the gospel do something for you? Aren't you still excited about your salvation? Jesus is getting ready to do a work in Viroqua, and man, I'm excited about it. We see the good news, and we see the cry for desperation. Verse 38, he said, and he cried. He didn't just say, man, I'm going to sit here and say a little prayer that the Son of David would have mercy upon me. You can just sit there and say, oh, you know, if you get a chance to talk to him, let him know that I need something. Oftentimes we ask for prayer, but we're not praying ourselves. We don't want it desperately enough to pray for it ourselves. But it said that he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And when other people try to shut him up, when the people in the community want to discourage you, and Satan wants to use them to discourage you, and maybe when somebody doesn't, we talked about the other day, when somebody doesn't come to, they say they want to see God do a work, but they're not willing to put in the work themselves, and they don't come to canvassing, it can be discouraging when there's only three of us going out every day. Satan will allow that to discourage us. But we can't get discouraged, and we can't let people put us down. We ought to cry so much the more and allow the world to cry so much the more, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. The cry in desperation. They tried to shut him up, but he cried so much the more. There's a desperate cry for mercy, and even if they don't realize that they're crying, I think of the call to Macedonia. Come over to Macedonia and help us. They don't even realize what they're crying for. They don't even realize, but there's so many people that are hurting in this world. There's so many people that have a condition and they don't even know what it is. And they have this condition that brings them heartache, and they don't realize. And then you walk out in the streets and you can't help but see the depression and the darkness on people's faces. And they're crying out for mercy, even though they don't realize who they're crying to or what they're crying for, but there's people seeking truth. The last 2 years, we hit record sales in Bibles. 18 million Bibles sold in the U.S. The King James Bible is still at the highest list of the most sold translations. And we've hit record sales because people, and most of them are from 18 to 25 years old. And they've done surveys, and they've asked people, why are you purchasing the Bible? And most of it is because they say, well, I'm looking for something that gives me fulfillment. I'm looking for truth. There's so much lies in the world and in the government, and there's so much corruption. I'm looking for something that is sure, something that is steadfast. They have a cry for desperation, and they don't know where to look. Well, how shall they hear without a preacher? And that's not just the preacher up here on the platform. That's those that go share the gospel, that have the good news. S.M. Lockridge, a famous preacher from the 60s, he talked about how he so desperately wanted to go on this missions trip somewhere, or a preacher's conference or something, and he wasn't able to get his passport in time. And so the Lord left him home, and he said, I don't know why the Lord didn't allow me to go. And I started preaching about just going and sharing the good news. He said, then I realized a lot of my people didn't have any news to share. He said, so I just started preaching the gospel. And he said, some of my deacons got saved. The church clerk got saved. Many of the leaders in our church got saved. He said, man, then they got on fire. He said, we have the good news. They said, some of them didn't. I didn't even realize it. They were a deacon in the church. They were the piano player. I hope the piano player saved. But he said the piano player wasn't even saved. And he said, we can't go share the good news if we don't have any good news to share ourselves. But they're crying for mercy. They're crying for salvation, and they're crying for, the church is crying for revival, and there's those that are trying to hinder the work of God. There are those that are trying to quench the Spirit, but we ought to cry so much the more and not let anyone put a damper on what God's doing, what God's about to do. And we cry so much the more, have mercy on me, thou Son of David. The cry for mercy, the cry in desperation. When we see God's inquiry, Jesus inquires of him, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And verse 41, and he said, and Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. God knows the need of Bethlehem Baptist Church. God knows the need of Viroqua, Wisconsin and Vernon County. But there's a necessity for the confession of faith with the mouth. We know that from Romans 9. That if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. That's just a profession of what you believe and what you've been convinced of. You see that in the Ethiopian eunuch. And he said, if thou wilt believe in thine heart, with all thy heart. And the Ethiopian eunuch says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's confession with the mouth. To profess that which you are convinced of, what you believe. And God knows the need, but because of our importunity, we see him do the work. Because we keep going on behalf of God. God, bring a visitor this Sunday. God, we want to see a soul saved and added to the church. And we may, we see in the book of Hebrews, we may not even see it in our lifetime, but God still hears our prayers long after we're gone. We see that in Hebrews 11. And so we see, because of our importunity, God, we may never see this auditorium filled, but maybe 10 years down the road, 20, 30, 40, maybe even 60 years down the road, this auditorium is filled. Long after I'm gone, long after there's a new pastor in here. But if we continue to pray, God is still going to bless those prayers long after we're gone. God knows the need of Bethlehem Baptist Church. God knows the need of Viroqua, Wisconsin, but he wants to see our desperation to see God do a work. And we see the cry in faith. It says, receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight. We see that he had this need. He had this condition to receive his sight, and he asked in faith. He said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. He didn't say, Lord, can you give me my sight back? Are you able to do that? He said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to give me my sight back. And he says, Lord, that I may receive my sight. It was faith that his eyes were opened. It was by faith that he was saved. It was by faith that the work of God was done. And because of his faith, others were affected, seeing the work of God. We see that he followed him and he glorified God. And the work by his faith, the work of God was done. His eyes were opened. He was saved. And then it says, and all the people, when they saw it. Man, they knew who Jesus of Nazareth was. They told the blind man that he was coming. He was the blind one, but they saw the work. They saw the work and they gave praise unto God. Because of his faith, others were affected. They saw the work of God done. And when we see when we are praying and praying and praying, and yeah, it can be encouraging to see the work of God done. But when you see the others do the work, but man, it's even more of a blessing when you get involved in the prayer. When you get involved in the work, you get to rejoice in that blessing even more because it was an answer to your prayer as well. So when we see God do a work, man, it's encouraging. And as we get excited about God doing the work, others are going to see it and they're going to give praise to God. And we see in verse 43, it says, and when they saw it, gave praise unto God, and even the blind man, glorifying God. It's number 5, all glory and praise to God. We saw the good news that was shared. We saw the cry for desperation. We saw the need for confessing with the mouth. We saw the cry in faith, but all glory and praise was given to God. For the soul that was saved, and for the work and the miracle that was accomplished. So much the more people should share the good news of God. The world's waxing worse and worse. If the foundations be destroyed, and they are being destroyed, history's being rewritten, and the Bible's being neglected, and now people are seeking it again, but in our government and in our schools, and the morality's just being forsaken. That was the foundation that this country was founded on 250 years ago. If the foundations be destroyed, what then can the righteous do? Some of the righteous ran to the mountains and hid. But so much the more the righteous should share the good news of God. So much the more people should be crying out for mercy from God. So much the more people should respond and act in faith toward God. So much the more people should glorify and praise God. The world's wicked. It is. And I hate to say it, but a lot of our churches are wicked. But so much the more we need God. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to not only respond to the good news and cry out for mercy, but we need to act upon the good news. Faith without works is dead. And we'll begin into that next Sunday night. We're going to be starting a series on the book of James tonight. But we need to act in faith towards God. Faith without works is dead, being alone. Now, faith plus works does not save. Faith alone saves. But faith that saves is never alone. It's always going to be followed by works. If you're truly saved, if you've truly found the saving faith, man, it's not going to leave you the same. Jesus never left anyone the same. We must continue to preach a faith alone gospel. And I'm drawing a blank on what I was going to say. We must continue to preach a gospel that changes people, but We must continue to preach the come as you are gospel while forsaking the stay as you are gospel. The gospel should never leave somebody the way they are. Jesus never did that. You won't find that anywhere in Scripture. You can say a little prayer on your front doorstep. And then just continue to live life however you are. You got fire insurance. You got house. You got the get out of hell free card. You've been saved from your sin, but go ahead and just continue in your sin. Well, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. A faith that saves ought to change you. And if it doesn't, was it saving faith to begin with? That's what James says. James chapter 2. He said, if you don't got works, if your faith, if your salvation didn't give you works, if it didn't give you a desire to serve God, was it saving faith to begin with? And I'm not trying to get anyone to doubt their salvation this morning. I'm not. But faith without works is dead. Works doesn't save us. But if faith saves us, ought to cause us to work. So much the more we should be sharing the good news and making a commotion. So much the more we should be crying out for mercy, both for salvation and revival. And so much the more we should respond and act in faith towards God. And so much the more we should glorify and praise God for the work that is done. Just talking to the teens this morning about the judgment seat of Christ and how I think we're going to be surprised at how many good works that we do that were for the glory of man and not the glory of God. It may seem like good works, but it's still going to be burned up because it wasn't done with the right motive. I think we're going to be shocked. Well, Lord, I invited this many people to church and they came. Well, was it to show off how many people you've won to Christ? Or was it because of your love for God that you shared the good news? We can do good things, it could still be burned up. Because we're not doing it for Christ, we're doing it to build a name for ourselves. And what a disappointment and embarrassment that will be if it's not done for the love of God. So much the more we should be giving God the glory, the praise, and the focus. Scott Pauley put out a podcast, Enjoying the Journey, and he did a series on Revelation. He always ended it with, keep your eyes on Christ and look up. The King is coming. That's our focus. Just keep our eyes on Christ. And so much the more we need that. So much the more we've become comfortable and we think we have need of nothing, but we need Jesus. So much the more the cry for mercy. Let's close in a word of prayer. We'll have a brief invitation. Dear Lord, I'm humbled this morning. Lord, I need your mercy, and I thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Lord, I need your mercy daily. Lord, we're human. We mess up. I thank you that you've saved us from the penalty of our sin, but Lord, shall we continue in sin that your grace may abound? God forbid. I pray that so much the more we'll start making a commotion in Viroqua, Wisconsin. And so much the more we'll be crying out for mercy on behalf of Viroqua. And so much the more Viroqua will see the good news and the truth, and that their eyes will be opened. Lord, that their faith will save them. Lord, I pray this morning, if someone under the sound of my voice has not cried out for mercy, and their eyes have not been opened to the truth of the gospel, I pray that they will get that settled today. Lord, if there's someone else that under the sound of my voice that does not, Lord, that does not work for the right reasons for you, that we've let our pride get in the way, or the love of money, or the love of ourselves, Lord, that we'll get our focus off ourselves and onto Christ. So much the more we need you. Lord, I pray that you'll bless this time of invitation. In the precious and holy name, amen.